Chapter 2, Visiozyme. Kylie packed up her laptop at Jolt and walked two blocks up Main Street to Visiozyme's imposing glass facade and through the doors to its marble lobby and a two-story atrium with a living plant wall. Dwarfed behind the reception desk, a small Latina woman in a black uniform sat engrossed in her cell phone. Kylie stood there waiting to be noticed as the woman texted with rapid-fire thumbs. Kylie shot daggers with her eyes. "I don't bother doing your job on my account," Kylie thought, plopping her purse on the counter to get the woman's attention. Oblivious, the receptionist completed her text in maddening slow motion, only looking up when she was done. "Yes?" "Excuse me, I know this is a bit unusual, but I'm here for a reference on one of your previous employees, and evidently, his supervisor has passed away. I'm not sure who to talk to. Maybe HR? Who was it?" Kylie told her. The woman had her sign in, then called HR. She hung up and pointed. "It's on the fourth floor. Elevators are that way. Ask for Susan Wynn." Kylie's low-heeled boots clacked on the marble as she walked from the elevator and through the glass doors to the waiting room. The HR receptionist, a pink-skinned, preppy-looking guy in his mid-20s, about her age, asked her to take a seat. Kylie felt jumpy and stopped in the ladies' room to check her hair. In the mirror, her reflection showed a trim young woman. Kylie thought she looked average, but admittedly had regular features and perfect skin. She had been called beautiful more than once, but Kylie thought people were probably being generous. She certainly didn't feel beautiful lately. She considered her dark eyes too intense and her look too tomboyish to qualify for that club. She combed her chin-length hair and sighed at the highlighted ends growing out. Hair salons in general weren't budgeted in her startup. She dabbed on some drugstore lip gloss, made a face at her reflection, and returned to the waiting room. How much simpler her life would be if she could settle for a regular job where she might work in a place like the corporate setting before her, with its standard industrial beige carpeting and cubicles beyond another glass door. But then there were the plastic plants. Ugh. Evidently, the healthy plant wall in the lobby was just for show. Upstairs, the actual workers didn't need the extra oxygen from the plants and got to breathe in plastic instead. She couldn't imagine conforming or fitting in here, although she wasn't sure exactly where else she'd fit in, except on a glittering ski slope with a big sky all around her and where she wouldn't have to put up with anybody else's agenda. Then she remembered that this time she was the one doing the hiring, not interviewing for a job. Still, numbing anxiety had settled in her stomach as if it were going on a long road trip. As it turned out, Kylie had plenty of time to contemplate the fact she was not a corporate person. She waited, alternating between winding a few locks of her hair around her short, gloss-black fingernails and playing with her phone. What if Simon didn't work out and she couldn't find anyone to build her platform? Or worse, what if he'd killed his boss and decided to kill her too? Or maybe she'd first die of malnutrition from eating too many ramen noodles. Her worst fear was coming up empty and having to tell her parents that she was just about to become a pauper. Well, they were already convinced that she was a failure. She could just picture how it would unfold. When she could no longer avoid it, she'd have to go home to their Lexington Colonial where she'd grown up. It was located in a desirable winding street of similar homes, all with manicured lawns and trees behind that hinted of acres of conservation land. Kylie pictured them seated for their dinner at the long table in their formal dining room with a long colonial table surrounded by the ivy-papered wallpaper that had always made her claustrophobic. She had always hated the pretension of eating in there as if they were aristocrats or something. Her mother would sit at one end of the table, and her father, the other, as if they were a king and queen. Kylie would be the poor chump, alone in the middle, as they ate warmed-up takeout dinners that her mother had brought home from the specialty shop in town. They could comfortably have been seated in the cozy yellow breakfast nook just off the kitchen, where at least spatially, they'd look like a close family. The conversation would start out congenially, as usual, but would inevitably deteriorate from superficial comments about the weather and the Red Sox into direct questions about the state of her love life, or worse, the state of her finances. Kylie could picture her father's face, reddening as he warmed up, eventually upon discovering that she'd lost most of her trust fund on her first startup. He'd rant with rising volume and fury. Not that he'd ever have done it, but his eyes would narrow into slits, and he'd look as if he might smack her. She certainly wouldn't mention that she'd risked losing the rest on her next startup. He'd interrupt her useless attempts at defending herself with accusations of her immaturity and laziness. His complexion would deepen to the color of a rare steak, and he'd point a meaty finger at her face, insisting that she take a job at his financial firm. "Kylie, you've already interned there. That wasn't so bad, right?" She'd shrink inside, remembering the tedium and how she had hated the pressure to produce leads from her endless list of cold calls. Ugh. She shuddered inside. They had no idea who she really was. When his barrage would finally slow, Kylie imagined replying, "David, I'm not desperate, nor am I about to start wearing pantyhose and heels to some tedious job again, even if you are my father. I got an MBA for the precise purpose of learning how to do my own thing. I learned that when I interned for you. Show some respect. It's Dad to you, my baby girl, light of my life. Your internship wasn't so bad, if you recall. It got you into Harvard Business School, didn't it? We literally gave you that MBA, and you're not desperate because of your trust fund. You're just lucky your grandmother left you this inheritance. I have no idea why she gave it to you so young." "Grammy believed in me," she'd shrug. Well, the fantasy felt real because she'd heard it all before. She could imagine that he'd pull back his Queen Anne mahogany chair and walk over to her and touch her shoulder, his fatherly affectionate gesture of choice. Other families hugged. Other families accepted their children's wishes. His gestures never made Kylie feel like he cared at all. He would say in a quiet, intimate voice that barely masked his rage, "Just remember, we paid for your so-called MBA. If you blow it, you'll have nothing. We don't get many chances in life. You've thrown yours away. Don't ask us to save you when it's all gone. That's all there is. Do you think Grammy would want you blowing through her money?" He'd head to the sideboard to pour himself a scotch. Then he'd retreat to his den, the distant sound of ice cubes tinkling as he stomped down the hall. Kylie's mother, Allison, a lawyer, would squint one of her smug everything-you-do-is-crap looks from behind her black designer photo grays. Ugh. Kylie, as usual, would suspect her mother might be right. She just needed a little time, and she would prove them wrong. They'd be very sorry. The mere thought of this scenario made her forearms itch, threatening another round of eczema. Her parents had no idea how much trouble she'd gotten herself into. But failure had been an excellent teacher. Kylie was sure she'd learned the necessary lessons to make her dream a reality. If she could just get it going, her new business idea could make her a fortune. And when it did, she'd never need to have this dreaded conversation. It had to work. There was no other option. A long half hour later, Susan Wynn from HR finally appeared, startling Kylie from her daydream as she loomed over her. She was heavy and wore a shapeless brown dress, carried a laptop under one arm. She extended a manicured hand to shake in one definitive downstroke before her cool fingers dropped Kylie's. "Nice to meet you, Kylie. We'll go into the conference room." Kylie followed her, past rows of cubicles to a room with four glass walls. So clean, a person would have to be careful not to break her nose by walking out into an expanse of glass, thinking she was heading onto the floor filled with cubicles. From the wall of windows, there was a view of the subway station across the street, where a homeless man stood, peddling papers just outside the steps. depressing. It occurred to her, unless she got her startup going, she might end up joining him. No, she would probably just go back to being a snow bunny, which is what she wanted to do in the first place. Not such a bad choice, she thought, although humiliating at this point to choose it out of failure and have to admit it to her parents and the world. Susan sat Kylie at the end of a long glass table, taking the corner seat next to her. "So, what can I do for you?" Susan asked. Kylie offered her card with her regular company name instead of OMG, since she intended to have more products. "Why limit yourself?" "I'm Kylie Maynard, with Dog Sled Media. I'd wanted to talk to Natalie Saltz to check a reference on Simon Whitehead, but I discovered she's deceased. I'm sorry for your loss and to inquire so soon afterward, and I know this is awkward, but I'm just looking for some information on his performance, or possibly the names of some other managers to use as a reference. I know this is an unusual request, but since his supervisor is deceased, I was just hoping for a little information." Susan nodded. "Yes, this is all very unfortunate. I'll see what I can do. Mostly, we're just able to verify employment, though." She typed something into her laptop. "That's odd," Susan pursed her lips. "Simon's not in our database." She typed some more as her nostrils flared. "Well, maybe something's wrong with our server. How do you spell his name, just to double check?" Kylie gave the correct spelling, and Susan retyped it. "That's what I'd put in. Very strange. I remember meeting him once. I scheduled an exit interview when he left, but he never showed up." "Do you know why he left?" "Not entirely. If you don't mind me asking, since I know this is viewed as a homicide, well, Simon isn't a suspect, is he? I believe he left just a few days before this happened, but I'm thinking of hiring him, and I just want to get a sense of his work style. Hopefully that doesn't include killing off his supervisors." Susan gave Kylie a blank look. "The police are investigating. I'm not able to discuss it." "I understand. Well, maybe Simon had somebody he worked with I could talk to." Susan looked at her laptop again. "Look, I'm sorry. I can't let you upstairs, but sometimes some of the guys go out into the courtyard during lunch around noon. I can't guarantee who's going to be out there, but it is a beautiful day. It's open to the public. You could go and get some lunch and hang out there if you want. Just don't tell anyone how you found out." She smiled at Kylie. "Thanks. Who would I even look for?" "Possibly Steve Hahn. I think he shared an office with Simon." "Thank you." Kylie did a slight karate bow in gratitude. She'd liked the symbolism of the left hand symbolizing peace, always going on top of the right hand, which stood for war. Well, she'd been doing these bows ever since her karate classes in high school. She had loved her classes, but although she had been great at the drills, she had never was able to expel a loud and forceful ki-ai with her strikes. Her deepest voice had been locked inside of her like a secret, wrapped in a shroud of shyness. During the drills, she had mutely ran through the blocks and punches while her classmates shouted explosive "Huh!" which she learned were called ki-ais. When she tried the yell, she was mortified that she sounded more like a bleating lamb and was too embarrassed to try it again. She was much better at the bows, a formality to be delivered soundlessly, and which marked the beginning and end of each set of moves. Convinced she'd never use karate anyway, the bow was her main takeaway, and she still used it. "How will I know what he looks like?" she asked Susan. "Go." Susan smiled and pointed a mauve-tipped fingernail at the door. Kylie stepped into the brilliant July sunshine and sat on a bench near the T-stop. She dialed VisioZyme again. This time, she punched Steve Hahn's name into the company directory.